Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Up, LAFB fans, you are listening to the Bruin Bible right now, but we want to bring to you our sponsor for the show. It's Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals. I know our guy Madman will be all over that. The big tennis fan of the bunch. Major League Baseball, Dodgers in the midst of a big-time season, highest payroll in the league, three MVPs in the lineup. Can they figure it out? The latest fighting news, a huge MMA fight coming up this weekend for the UFC, and even next season's early NFL futures. I know you guys will be hammering the Rams and Chargers overs on the futures for next season. Head to our website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LAFB to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. What is up and welcome to a brand new edition of the Bruin Bible. Your host, Will Decker here. We got a very special guest in the house. He is a national anchor for Fox Sports Radio. He works for Learfield doing UCLA content. I was able to connect with him just about a week and a half ago as I'm new to Los Angeles, trying to connect with new people out here. Brian, one of the best people I've met thus far in Los Angeles. Mr. Fenley, how are you doing today on this fine Thursday afternoon?
Will, I am better now that I'm talking to you, and I'm excited that we have both lived in Memphis, so we've got quite a bit in common. We both love UCLA. We both support the school and all of its athletic programs, and I'm excited. Let's chop it up, man. Let's have some fun.
Dude, a lot of fun to be had. We're going to be breaking down just a lot of different things going on with the UCLA football program. But before we get started, I got to ask you, for the viewers out there, our time in Memphis, it just missed each other from overlapping. You know, you were there right before I got there. The barbecue scene is palpable in Memphis. Anyone that knows me, I'm a big foodie. Where was your choice? You could go anywhere. You had one, you know, trip back to Memphis. You can go to one barbecue spot. Where would that be and why, Mr. Finley? Because you were there for a couple of years, I believe.
Yes. Well, first of all, call me Brian. I mean, come on, we're colleagues here. But I would have to say Rendezvous. Would oftentimes, when I was in the press box for football games at the University of Memphis, Rendezvous would be catering. And my goodness, those ribs coming in hot, and did they smell, and were they flavorful? And we would just binge on those during halftime, and you had to get them early, Will, because if you didn't and you missed them, they were gone really quickly. So I would have to go with them. I don't think Kansas City has anything compared to Memphis as far as barbecue.
I have not been to Kansas City, so I cannot call on that one. I've been to St. Louis, been to a couple other places, but for places that I've lived, it was easily the best barbecue I've had. Commissary's got to be in there. A little Gus's, you know, fried chicken out there that's now become a national chain. There's some in L.A. All great stuff, but the sauce at Rendezvous was top of the line.
Yes.
And it was the best sauce that I've experienced on the meats out there, but enough of the food talk, man. We got to talk about some UCLA stuff going on here. Brian, it is a big, big deal that this is going on. UCLA and USC, out of nowhere, decided to spurn the Pac-12 as a whole and go to the Big Ten Conference, a move that is being lauded by some and criticized by a lot here on the West Coast from some of these competing schools. What is your take on this? Because I was shocked when I first got the initial text message that UCLA was indeed going there, and it happened so quickly. It was like likely linked to join them, and I was like, man, that's crazy. And then 2 hours later, it was done. It was a wrap. They officially had joined the conference. What was your initial reaction to UCLA and USC coming out, and how has that changed over the past week?
I'm not really surprised, is my reaction. And I say that because the athletic director, Martin Jarman, has always been an outside-the-box thinker, has always been somebody who's looking at a big picture for what can be best for the university, and willing to take risks and to do new things, things that are in somewhat uncharted territory, that is moves like this. I mean, you're talking about the Big Ten having teams on the West Coast. Who would have thought? But the fact is, Martin is a progressive thinker, and he understands that there are so many positives that can come with this, Will. What I am most astounded by is how quickly this got done, slash how it was kept quiet for so long. In this world where with social media and everybody seemingly thinking they have an in with a beat reporter or in the know, it's hard to hide things for very long in this business. You can't tell anybody because what do people do? They like to talk and stuff gets out and then news breaks prematurely. But UCLA, the day that they put out that press release to finalize it was the day the news broke out. How rare is it that we see something like that? The university knew what they were doing and they hit the nail on the head with this.
It really did, and I think it was part of just being treated as the little brother of college sports. I think as someone that has, you know, worked a little bit at the Pac-12 Network, there was a lot of sadness there. But, you know, it was kind of coming. You know, you look at the main reasons why UCLA and USC wanted to join the Big Ten. They consider themselves as teams that compete against the likes of Ohio State and Michigan, and when you really break it down from a numbers perspective, Ohio State and Michigan was making $20 million more annually per season than these guys just from TV media rights deals. I mean, that is a huge number. UCLA, you know, was in serious debt after this Under Armour deal really flopped, and they had to kind of, you know, switch up to the Jordan brand, which has been great for recruiting stuff, but they're being paid significantly less than what they would be paying for Under Armour, right? Because that was a huge deal for Under Armour at the time. So not only did Martin Jarman, you know, bridge the gap of getting more competition, he may have just gotten UCLA out of debt as well, which is insane. You know, Martin Jarman's been on this podcast, could not be a greater guy. We love him a lot. But just the visionary and poise are like the two words that I really think of when it comes to Martin. And he was able to get that done with Mike Bone at USC. And, you know, in this new college landscape of, you know, NIL and just money that's going to be on the table as opposed to under the table, this is huge. You're going to have money in your pockets now. And who knows, maybe that recruit that, you know, never even thought about Los Angeles from Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin area, it's going, hey, man, these guys came and played, you know, UW, you know, in Madison last year. I was up there. I was interacting with the coaches. It seems like a great place. I never would have had access to these guys really without them kind of coming to the Big Ten. So I think it's just it's a move that I enjoy from competition standpoint and just elevating the university within. But it is a little, it comes with a little sadness. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the Rose Bowl, like, I just feel like that bowl game is now kind of no longer. I mean, it was the Pac-12 against the Big Ten, right? I mean, USC and UCLA are going to be competing from the Big Ten side to, you know, go into the Rose Bowl.
But think about this, Will. Like, you're going to have maybe a watered-down version of the Rose Bowl every Saturday when it's a UCLA home game. Now, sure, it's UCLA. You're thinking that if you're a UCLA fan because you're going to get – the likes of Michigan, the likes of Michigan State and all these teams in Iowa. Now, UCLA at Minnesota, that's something that we're going to all have to get used to. That's a little bit different. But what I have to admit and remark on, you brought this up with Mike Bone and Martin Jarman. How often do heated rivals from institutions work together on something? Like, ever? And these two guys worked together to get these two schools playing and the Pac-12 at the time playing, coming off the COVID layoff and trying to get some sort of game action in that fall of 2020. Mike Bone, Martin Jarman were in lockstep with each other. And that says a lot about how you can kind of put your ego aside and figure out how we can work together to make each other better, and that not one is better than the other in the sense of we could use you to get better with ourselves. So it's a very symbiotic relationship that is, I don't think you would see that in any other major college rivalry. The other thing is, when you think about, and this is something I'm sure you've talked about and thought about, and we've all thought, but the recruiting, how this changes, as you mentioned, guys from Big Ten country traditionally are now going to spend more time looking at LA schools. But think about how this changes the landscape of recruiting from the perspective of how NIL has changed things in that if you're a school that might not be able to have a donor or a booster that can provide or a company that can give you a certain amount of payout to represent a brand, but you're part of the Big Ten, maybe you don't have the finances to match other schools per se in NIL, but you're in a better conference. So that might give you recruiting advantage as well.
I completely agree. And just from a football standpoint, you know, it's just no secret. The Big Ten is the better conference, you know, Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, I'm looking at some of the games that we could potentially travel to go cover UCLA. Imagine them in Happy Valley, you know, playing Penn State in that night atmosphere, you know, 110,000 fans, all white. I mean, that's just giving me chills thinking about it. Wisconsin doing the jump around in Madison in the third quarter when UCLA is there. And it just the cool thing is I've always felt, and this is someone that's come from the West Coast, went to a Pac-12 school at Arizona State, covers the Pac-12, you know, religiously right now. It has been a conference that has lacked, you know, and a few exceptions. Oregon's up there, you know, U of A basketball is a, you know, a huge brand for fans. It's lacked the same fan engagement that the SEC and the Big Ten has had. And now that you are joining kind of a Big Ten institution like that, I think that's just going to make things so much more fun for fans in LA that they can kind of just rally behind this team a little bit more. It gets the casual college football fan involved more. You're telling me Ohio State's coming to the Rose Bowl to play UCLA this year? Listen, I haven't followed college football in a long time, but I want to go watch the Buckeyes play. You know, that's something that's cool. I think it's a great move for UCLA and USC to go to the Big Ten. I am really excited about it. I think on both sides, I think it's great. But what does this mean for the Pac-12, Brian? Because you look at it from a landscape where it's like you have the big brand football-wise, and I know this is a UCLA football podcast, but we'd be lying to ourselves if USC was not, you know, the face of the conference when it comes to football. And then for basketball, it's been UCLA. You know, from the Wooden years on, UCLA has been the basketball school. You lose your best school in football and basketball at this point. I'm looking at Oregon going, there's no way they're going to stay here long-term with Phil Knight and Nike backing them. They're going to want to be competitive and do some things. What does this mean for the Pac-12? Because I, in my humble opinion, I believe that we are seeing the Pac-12 dissolve before our eyes, if you will.
I think what could happen, and I think we've seen reports of this, Will, is that there's going to be some sort of union with the ACC. The teams that don't disband from the ACC and go to the SEC, whatever remaining teams, I think maybe they'll prop themselves up with the leftover Pac-12 teams. That could be a possibility. There's always the possibility of poaching from lower tier conferences, the Mountain West, whatnot. And that's always a possibility. But I don't think that's as enticing as trying to find some sort of mutual agreement with the Big 12 and the ACC, the remaining teams that don't jump ship, that could still be considered Power Five. It's just so weird to think that our notion of conferences being regionalized, those days are over. You know, it's the ACC. I mean, we started to see that when you've got teams traditionally, like I know, and I think of Syracuse in the Big East. They're in the ACC. You know, things like this happen. But now we're talking about teams from conferences that are now across the country and this being a possibility. It's so weird. This, to me, Will, it's like plate tectonics. There are years, like if the San Andreas Fault, I don't know. I think we're in California. That can't be too far from us. There are years when there's nothing. There's no friction. There's no you know, major earthquake. But then you can have successive earthquakes back to back to back to back. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's like, okay, we've heard, you know, whispers of this happening. Nothing's happened. Now something's happening. And now it's like a big Jenga block here. You take one piece out and everything's coming down now.
The dominoes have tipped, man. And yes. I was, you know, I always thought it was weird, you know, just even a few years ago when West Virginia joined the Big 12, I'm like, they're not even close to Texas and Oklahoma. There is UCLA is going to be playing like Tuesday night basketball games in New Jersey, like playing against, you know, like Rutgers and Maryland. Like those schools could not be further away from UCLA and USC. So the conference, the notion of this is the area of the country you're in, you have to stay in a conference in this area, it's done. College sports literally just blew up kind of. And it's just, it's going to be interesting to see where the pieces lie, you know, to go with that Jenga reference, my man. So we got a lot of, you know, interest on what's going to happen. I don't think any of us totally know what, where it's going to transpire, but we're going to be paying close attention to that. Let's steer it to some football talk, Brian. And I just want to talk about our guy, Chip Kelly. This is a pro Chip Kelly podcast. We're big fans of him. The first couple of years were a little rocky for him. Let's be honest. I mean, he, you know, did not win more than four games over his first three seasons at the helm there. This year, he kind of ride the ship a little bit, 8 wins, you know, got the extension he was looking for from Martin Jarman to kind of keep this thing rolling. We think he's the right guy for that spot. Did you think Chip was worthy of, you know, the contract extension he was able to receive?
Yeah, I think he is. And I was very encouraged by last season. It was unfortunate they didn't play the bowl game. And I was expecting that to be a win. I think we all were. Now we might be a little biased here, but I think that they should have been 9-4 on the season, more or less. But yes, I think that he doesn't get enough credit for what he's done in the transfer market. I think that people can say, well, what about getting guys out of high school? I don't think there's as much importance on that now. Like, everybody's diving into the transfer market. And I know we're going to probably talk about some of the weapons on the team upcoming, but Zach Charbonnet, I mean, you hit a home run getting him, and he's going to be the face of this running game for UCLA this season. The idea of a recruiting class out of high school, I think that stuff is overrated. And Chip would say that too. What he has done, arguably one of the best in the country, is getting the right guys from the transfer market who are ready to play right away. And people that don't see that might have certain opinions, but that's what you got to look at. You got to look at what he's been able to do in bringing guys you can play right away. And last year is Exhibit A.
Yeah, it's incredible what he's done. And we remark on this on the show a bunch. It's like the way he's approached it is recruiting standards. It's actually just harder to qualify as a recruit to go play for a school like UCLA. It's up there with, you know, the Stanfords and stuff within conference. And it's just naturally harder to get guys to come in here where, you know, USC, it's easier to get players in there that are talented and whatnot. They'll make it work type of thing. With this, he has combined an uptick in recruiting recently with the transfer portal coming in. And it's almost like he approaches each offseason with a grocery list going, hey, I need help on the line. I need help in the secondary. You know, we just lost a couple wide receivers. I'd love to get a couple more in there. And routinely, I mean, he has really done a standout job. I would probably not even put two or three coaches above him in all of college football with how successful he's been in the transfer portal. You're talking about Zach Charbonnet coming in there. I mean, this guy, he's going to be on the shortlist for the Duke Walker preseason. You know, just that's just how good of a running back Charbonnet is. You know, he'll be in the competition for one of the best running backs in the country. You know, we lost Kyle Phillips, you know, arguably one of the more consistent receivers we've had in the program since like a J.J. Stokes in the early 90s. They go and get Jake Bobo, who is an all third team ACC receiver out there in the market, 70 plus catches last year, close to 800 yards, very talented guy. And, you know, there's a big hole in the line. You know, Alec Anderson, Sean Ryan leave. You know, these are two staples at the tackle position. Sean Ryan and Anderson are both going to be on NFL rosters, you know, come training camp time. He went out and he got Raekwon O'Neal, you know, from Rutgers. And then he goes and gets Jalen Jeffers, who's a transfer from Oregon, who has a very high ceiling at the tackle position, just kind of throw himself out there. So Chip Kelly, you know, when it comes to, you know, his whole tenure, has it been perfect? No, it's been far from perfect. But you hit it right on the head. If we play that bowl game, we could potentially get to 9 wins. The school record for wins for UCLA is 10. So you're one off the school record for wins last year. You're bringing back, you know, a pretty talented roster coming into next season. And the guy that I want to talk to you about next is a guy that you've covered. You know, all UCLA fans have seen this guy for the last 4 years. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is coming back. And there was just a difference to this kid last year. You could see it around. He was stepping up, and he actually became a leader last year, in my opinion, as someone that follows the team. He always had the talent. He always, you know, could make the big play, but the leadership showed. And we go back to Stanford last year. You know, throws the game-winning touchdown when his shoulder was, you know, hanging on the right side of his body. I mean, that's a tough thing to do that earns the respect of the teammates. We go to the USC game, and it's not just getting over the hump and beating SC. His first two passes in that game were interceptions. It's easy for someone to just go, hey, it's not my day. Like, you know, it's not working out. He responds with 6 touchdowns, 500 yards of total offense or whatever it may be, and the infamous hurdle that we now know of for UCLA fans in the Coliseum. He really finished the season strong last year. It's exciting to see that he's coming back, especially with whatever happened with Dylan Gabriel. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Brian, you can call me crazy if you want, but I'm someone that – I'm an optimist. I like to
project. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I love to project confidence into these guys. Is it crazy for me to think that Thompson-Robinson, when all is said and done this year, could be first-team all-conference at the quarterback position? That's with the likes of a Caleb Williams transferring in with a Cam Rising at Utah.
I would go as far as to say he could be a dark horse Heisman candidate if he stays healthy and upright all season long, because this is going to be the year, Will, that we all envisioned from him when he was recruited to UCLA. This is what it all – why did he come back? You know, he's got a lot of stats. You know, he's shown what he's able to do. But I remember him talking, Will, when he was a freshman and coming in and talking about, you know, getting a Pac-12 title, playing in a Pac-12 title game, all of these things. This is the year where it all comes together. People fail to realize, a lot of them, how little quarterback experience he had in high school.
It's unbelievable.
And then he's playing in a game. Yeah. And then he's playing in a game as a true freshman against Oklahoma. Like, hello, like – that, to me, is a stark contrast from playing, I think it was 1 year of quarterback in high school. His arm talent is sensational. The elite toughness is there that you've picked up on. Now it's the accuracy. That is what's going to be the biggest difference this year. He's got – his cannon is incredible. His foot speed, his ability to – does that mean his ability to create offense on the ground with his feet? But the biggest stride he's going to take this year, Will, is down the field passing accuracy. Yeah. And that's what's going to set himself apart from any other year he spent at UCLA.
And, you know, we saw it in flashes last year, the Hawaii game, the first game, deep ball to Kaz Allen, thing of beauty, right? But the play that I always think goes unnoticed in UCLA's season last year was actually in the game against LSU. And it's the opening drive for UCLA. They're trying to find some confidence. This is a big brand coming into the Rose Bowl. Fox Sports is there. You know, it finally feels like the lights are shining on UCLA football. And he drops back and he hits Allen again, actually close to the sideline. This was the first down of the game for UCLA. It was a 29-yard pass. Beautiful thrown ball. Allen reels it in, first down. And you could just see something click with the offense there. It was like, hey, you know, we can beat these guys. Like, that was a perfect example of, like, we can take this down the field and make plays. And that's, you know, that's what something DTR was able to do with the deep ball. You mentioned it, man. The accuracy is a big thing. He did improve upon it a lot last year. And turnovers were, you know, an issue with him. 21 touchdown passes to just 6 interceptions, 62% completion percentage. But where he turned the corner the most, in my opinion, was you would occasionally see the runs from him. You know, like, yeah, a nice, you know, 10, 15-yard gain. he took the wheels off last year. He nearly doubled his career high in rushing yards in a season, got close to 10 touchdowns. And hey, man, I was trying to tame the expectations, you know, with the first team, you know, all conference. I believe he's a dark horse Heisman candidate as well. So I'm glad you're on the same page with me with the belief factor in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think it's going to be a big year at UCLA. Brian, you've been so awesome for coming on the show, man. We got to close it out with something special here. ESPN came out this past week, and they do the wins predictors, you know, for each team coming out into the next season. And they had UCLA at 10 wins, which, you know, as I previously mentioned, is the program record. You know, that is something to really get excited about for UCLA football fans. I'm just going through the schedule, man. And we got quite a few big games there. They have back-to-back games against Utah and Oregon in week 5 and week 6. You know, an out-of-schedule conference, you know, where if you lose one of these games, you know, I think there is reason to maybe put Chip back on the hot seat a little bit because these are must-win games. And then you got the back half of just your typical Pac-12 teams and, of course, the big SC game. Do you think 10 wins is attainable for UCLA? Because in my heart of hearts, if we get the same Dorian Thompson-Robinson, if we get the same Charbonnet, I think it's there for the taking.
I believe it's attainable, but I think 9 wins is more reasonable. I'm looking at the schedule. Obviously, they've got a very easy non-conference schedule, Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama. So let's say 3-0. Colorado, yes, that's a win. Washington, a win. You brought up Utah. Cam Rising is a great quarterback. You know,
phenomenal. And
phenomenal quarterback. And his teammates love him, and they'll go through a wall for him. That, to me, scares me. The other two games that scare me, the only other two, at Oregon and at home against USC. Not saying that they scare me that that's going to mean they're going to lose in UCLA, but I think that the other games that we didn't mention, Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, those are all pretty much in the bag wins. It's those three games to me where you're really going to get a barometer of how good this team is. Maybe they win one of those three. Maybe they win two of those three. Maybe they don't win any of those three. But if you start at 9, you can only go up. But it's going to come down to, I believe, and Will would love to hear what you think here, Oregon on the road. Now, they got the new coach, Dan Lanning, so that'll be interesting. But Utah and USC, those three games, what can you do? What sort of improvement and advancement as a team can you show in this next year with Chip? You could win them all. I'm looking at winning one of three. I think Oregon out of those three is probably the most beatable.
Ooh, I like that. I think that's a really good predictor. I do want to say, and I respect everything Lincoln Riley is bringing to USC. I think he was a huge reason why USC was able to, you know, loop UCLA in and go to the Big Ten. I think that's a real reason with Lincoln Riley coming to USC. I don't think it's going to be bump free in the first season. I think there's going to be some changes. There's going to be some things, even with how good those offenses were at, you know, Oklahoma, where you talk about the Kyler Murrays, the Baker Mayfields, whatever it may be. The defensive side of the ball was, you know, far from pretty there. You know, I think they were outscoring opponents. They're playing Big 12 teams. A lot of those wins were, you know, 58 to, you know, 35. You know, they're still ending up 35 points. It's a lot, you know. So I'm not ready to crown USC the conference championships now. And I know, you know, Jordan Addison's there, Caleb Williams there, Travis Dye just came down from Oregon. A lot of talented guys. And, yes, they, you know, probably have the most talent of anyone. But sometimes it just comes down to familiarity. And a lot of these guys are going to be learning a new system and things like that. So I'm not ready to crown SC just yet. I think a thing that helps this, you know, argument is two of those three games are at home. So
if two
of the three of your hardest games all year are at home, and, you know, college football atmosphere, that is the, you know, tangible sports, college basketball, college football, where the atmosphere means everything. These kids aren't professionals yet. I mean, it's going to get under their skin a little bit. You know, you can make these big plays. So having those games at home, I think, are huge. I think I'm going to lean with the ESPN on this one. And I know I can be called a homer at times. You know, I really like UCLA and things like that. But I think, like you said, Oregon, I think, is beatable. That could be a little bit more tougher out in Outson, you know, Outson Stadium, one of the more tough environments in all of college football. And I think they get it done against SC again. I think those are my two picks. Utah is kind of the wild card. I think Kyle Whittingham is one of, if not the most underrated coaches in college football. I just think the players brings up, they ride for him in a different way. And, you know, we talked about Cam Rising being a phenomenal talent at the quarterback position. So I'd actually favor Utah in that game. But bring it on against SC and Oregon, man. I'm excited about this season. And, Brian, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show, man. This really means a lot. You've been an awesome friend to me thus far in L.A., and I can't tell you how much that means to me, man. So thank you for coming on.
Will, you're doing great work with UCLA, and I'm excited to watch the season with you. More good things coming for you in your future, man, and thanks again for having me.
Likewise to you as well, brother. You're doing great work as well. Bruin Bible, we are